Will you join me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just rejoice in this time that we're able to come before you, to hear your word preached and your gospel proclaimed. Lord, I ask that you take any places where I may stand in the way and free me from it, so that I may be open to what you have to say and your gospel be proclaimed here this morning. It is your Son that we pray these things. Amen. We are so much bigger than just us alone. I want us to always remember that we were meant for so much more than what we are. We are meant to live into something much larger. And I know that you have felt that. I know that there have been times in your life when the dark night of the soul creeps its way in. You have that simple revelation that you are bigger than this. And you are meant for something more. Maybe that's just me. Growing up reading the stories of the Bruce Waynes and the Peter Parkers, I always thought that I was destined to be something bigger than I am. When the worship team sat down at Daisy Mint to celebrate the 2-year anniversary and to plan the next series, little did we know that God was sweeping us in to something bigger. When we started to try to name the next series, which is probably one of the most important things that a worship team does, we were going back and forth and literally spent probably about 20 minutes just trying to figure out what to name a series we decided upon Show and Tell. And little did we know what that meant in the context of what the Lord was going to do. Little did we know that the Lord was going to show up and tell us magnificent things. Have you felt it over the last couple weeks, church? Over the last couple weeks, I have been given goosebumps every single morning because the Lord has been showing up. I've been given the willies, as they called it, or perhaps the holy shakes in my seats because the Lord is showing up here. Whether it would be in the preaching or in the table or in the word, God is here. And I'm telling you, that wasn't something that we planned. I mean, we always desire, as the worship team, for the Lord to be here. But little do we ever know the mind of the Lord. And then God showed up. Dan shared this idea of overacceptance, which is accepting things on the terms that it was given and not on the terms in which we wish to accept them. This might have been a small example, but it was pulled into every sermon since it was given. And even 2 weeks ago, at the first chapel at Fuller, the same idea was brought up. To me, that shows that there is this larger story going on in the kingdom of God that Rose City is a part of. There is something larger happening here, and God is inviting us to join into a faithful history that has been going behind us in faith. And will go before us in trust and faithfulness in the Lord. A story of over-acceptance and accepting what God is doing both here and to us on its terms, instead of the terms in which we use or we desire to accept it. But I'm sure, being good and faithful listeners, you already knew this. Keeping in the tradition of the last couple of weeks, I have brought something for show and tell. This is a picture of a needlepoint that hung above my bed as a child. See, as you probably know, if you were to look up in a baby book, there is always a kind of a name or title associated with every name. Well, not every name, but most names, and then scripture that goes alongside of it. For instance, Dan or Daniel is attached to God is my judge. Well, my name, Gerald, stands for Great Warrior, which, I'm not going to lie, is a really awesome thing to be associated with, and it's no wonder why Candace fell so deeply in love with me. But what is even more, what's more amazing to me is that it's based off of the scripture that we read this morning, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. It's one of those little things that it's truly a God moment. That on this day, when we picked this series, We didn't know what the scripture was, but we said, Jerry, you're going to preach on this day. And then here I come, and instantly I have this connection from birth to this verse. God is a wonderful thing, and it's one of those things that accepting the terms, over-acceptance, letting this story be what it is instead of me trying to change it to something that it's not. I was reflecting on this week's scripture for Timothy and where it falls for him in his letter from Paul, and then where it fits for us as a church. It's at the end, which is fitting since this is the last scripture for this series. He's offering a little bit of a conclusion and kind of wrapping up what he's been pointing to this whole time. And that is, Timothy, I want you to remember that at this moment, you are not alone and that God is with you. That in your struggle of starting this new church, dear Timothy, God is with you. See, Paul then begins to point through at the beginning of the letter saying, remember me who is in shackles. It is where God has placed me. God is with me here. So much more, God is with you and what you're doing. Timothy, remember the faith of your grandparents, your mother. Remember that faith. How God is with them, then God is with you as well. God has been with Paul in his suffering. God has been with Timothy in his as well. God has been with his parents through their faithful journey. God is with Timothy as well. And then I begin to think of us as a church. And what that means for us as a new church, as it means for us starting out, much like Timothy, that even in the midst of the suffering that Paul is talking about, and the suffering that we may experience as individuals, to remind ourselves that God is with us. I couldn't help but rejoice a little bit in this scripture, because what we have seen from week in and week out, what I was talking about earlier in the sermon about God showing up and about God being here and God being faithful to us. But then there's a beautiful tension that I can't turn a blind eye to all of the other issues that we've also been talking about over the last couple weeks. The financial issues that we find ourselves in and the other things going on around inside of this church, and wonder, where is God's faithfulness in that? Today's Old Testament scripture kind of points to that. We have the Israelites who are in Jeremiah about to be pushed out into the darkness again. And they are mourning. We skipped over some verses in there. But in Jeremiah, it is really a lament of saying, God, you have led us to the desert. You have led us to go get water and there was no water. You have told us to go grow food, and yet it was a drought. God, where are you in this desolation? Why did you make it so hard for us to live? Why can't I feed my family? Why is it so hard for me to breathe? And God, where is my health? Why? And yet as they exhale this lament, they breathe out an anger with God. They breathe in a fullness and strength that only God can provide as they finish their verses, always saying, but God, isn't it you who commands the rain? Isn't it you who does all of these great things? As I excel my anger, my lament, and my frustration, let me breathe in a God who's more powerful than what I am. Let me breathe in a God who is inviting me into a larger story. Let me breathe into a God who has brought me into over-acceptance. Let me breathe in a God that is faithful. As a young middle schooler, who obviously knew everything because I was in middle school, I was upset by the fact that I had to learn history. I never understood it. I never understood why I needed to know about things that happened hundreds of years ago that were obviously wrong to everybody else. I never understood why I had to spend my time listening to history. I know it is kind of funny. And then I kind of found out that I really lacked perspective. See, as a young middle schooler, I really haven't lived long enough to kind of have that memorable memory my brain had not grown to its place where I could have the really great reflection upon life and have that understanding of the need to know what was happening. Because see, memorable history and that knowledge and power of being able to look back, it allows us to see moments are fleeting. That sometimes the things that I pursued and I thought were going to be the best thing ever turned out to be meaningless. And sometimes the smallest things that I thought meant nothing turned out to be the greatest of things. They snowballed. Little snowflakes coming into huge, huge things. And I know that this might not make sense to native Californians who have never seen snow, but I can tell you, it is exactly how it happens in the movies, where if some little snowball starts, it comes into big enough that it can wrap up a whole town. Yeah, exactly. You can. Thank you. But this perspective allowed me to give an informed view about my current problems that I'm struggling with. And that is why we learn history. And that's why it's important to remain and have perspective to the things that are happening around us. Because it'll allow us to know what's going to happen to us. And it'll allow us to, in that time where we're struggling, to remember, to be able to see the faithfulness of God. Because if we go back to the Israelites, they had a great history. A great history that they constantly shared with one another, saying, God just isn't a moment, people, but rather a way of life. That God doesn't just show up in one moment and then disappear, but the Israelites had to learn, because of their struggles, that God is a worldview. He is something that is constantly around us, and not just in one moment of despair, but in all things, God is there. So living into what the fullness of God can't just be a phase of life. Because we will have moments where we will exhale lament, where we will understand what is happening to us, where we want a God so much bigger to take this from us. And we'll need to breathe in that faithfulness of God that we can only see through the perspective of knowing in our history where God has been faithful. Because God has done faithful works to both us as individuals and to us as a church. And that is what God has called us to live into, to survive, to fight the good fight, so that we can keep the faith and be that sight to others, to let them know it is okay to exhale lament, because God will be faithful. Now, I have risen to such importance at Rose City Church that I have my own intern. It's really kind of a scary thing. So Kevin Nye, he has been having the unfortunate pleasure of working alongside me for his field education credit at Fuller. And so we have been meeting for the last couple of weeks and talking about his hopes and his dreams and what his heart for ministry will look like. Now, as all great intern-mentor relationships go, I thought I should just make him ghostwrite my sermon. But I just decided on discussing it with him instead. So we goodwill hunting it, and we pulled out the dry erase marker and started writing on the windows of my office at Fuller. And we discussed the relationship between all of the liturgical readings of Scripture this week. We looked at it through the lens that Dan had set up ahead of time of this idea of God's marker of strength in the small church, and looking at the faithfulness of God and where we as a small church can take these different elements of scriptures and seeing how they all come together to see what God has to say to us. And then Kevin, notice I am giving him the credit, said something very genius to me. And that is that in order for us to really see these things, we need to shift them into a worldview so they don't just become something that we do. That we need to form new habits so that these things don't become ends in themselves, but rather they begin to inform a larger shift in the way we are trying to do things and the way we see the world. And I believe what he said is the underpinning theme of show and tell. So that means that the worship team should get credit for being able to put that out there into his subconscious so that he was able to then speak it. that we as a small church are looking here to remind ourselves as individuals and to the rest of the world that these small things we do have great importance as we begin to form habits, and these habits begin to shift our worldview, and as we begin to change the worldview of both our church and the direction to pointing it towards the kingdom of God and away from the things of this world, that we then can become a marker to this city of Pasadena that they don't have to keep living a certain way, that God is here and present and doing great things. But it is until we open our eyes do we get to see that. It isn't until we shift our worldview from focusing on the things that will not matter and to the things that do that we begin to form these new habits that form and inform a worldview. So that we as a church don't do things like Union Station as an end to itself, as an end to make us feel better about who we are, but rather it's informative to us, that it forms us as Christians, and that we are able to remind ourselves that God doesn't just move in us, but in other people around us, and that if we are not with them, we will never be able to see how God is working in them. And that we do things like support Rose City Coffee, not because it makes us look cool, and not because it allows us to have really great coffee, but because it allows us to invest what we see as worthy into somebody else who has been told that they are unworthy. And to say, you have great worth. And in the kingdom of God, you are a beautiful masterpiece. So we are going to come alongside you and allow you to uncover that for yourself so that we as a church shift our worldview from just seeing how we can do these things for ourselves, but do them for other people. Because that is what the kingdom of God is about. We want these habits to become worldviews. And then we approach today's scripture, which seems to be at the end of this stuff, fighting a good fight. And keeping the faith. And I think one of the hardest things about this scripture, and the hardest things about faithfulness of God, is going back to what I've said at the beginning, and remembering that God is not just about us. One of the hardest things for me to interact with the scripture is that when we are talking about fighting the good fight, that doesn't necessarily mean you're winning. It means you're fighting the good fight. And you're keeping your faith. Because see, we live in a world where we are told that our perspective, our individualistic nature, is the only thing that's important. And we combat against that every day as a community, as a church of believers. We lose perspective, though, sometimes. And we think life is just about us. And not necessarily about things going on around us. And we feel like the good fight means that everything should be going good for me. Not realizing that no, when the Lord says he is faithful, his faithfulness is not just a moment, but it is over a lifetime. Amen. We forget that God is bigger than just me, than just you. That God is bigger than all of us. That this story of overacceptance has been told throughout history as God's greatness for us. We lose perspective. One of my Father's favorite sayings about the perspective of God is it's like we are a people only looking through a hole in the wall, while God can see all of it. We lose our perspective sometimes and think God is just us, and that the small experience of God's faithfulness is meant just for us, and that when God is not faithful to us, well then God is not faithful overall. And we have to fight against that. We have to form new habits and new worldviews to know that God is faithful overall. And what we're called to as Christians is to keep fighting that good fight and remembering each day that each new day is new. And that each new day God's faithfulness shows up for us. And each day that even in the midst of the troubles and in the pain and in the crying and the tears, that God will be faithful. Because God has proven that throughout history as we look back. And as God continues to move through us in the future, God will be faithful. So we're just called to keep on going. Because we serve a God who has already won the war. We serve a God who is taking this world and bending it towards justice. We serve a God who is doing great things among us. And if we continue to open our eyes and try to change and try to move out beyond us and to accept the stories that God places in our hearts, on their terms, instead of the terms that we want, we'll be able to see that God is faithful. And we are able to keep the faith so much more when we just are able to see God is faithful. And this becomes that foundation for us. This becomes that foundation for today's scripture for us as a church. That even amidst times where we're having financial crises and pipes are exploding and we don't know what's going on, we take a deep breath and remember God is faithful. This is the hardest lesson for me as Jerry Pickett is to learn. I lose perspective quickly. Sometimes I'm still caught up in being a young middle schooler and saying, why? 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 And we have the scriptures to remind us that God is faithful. We have prayer to remind us that God is faithful. We have community to remind us that God is faithful. We have this time now to shift and to move that into habits so that then we can have a worldview to inform us on these things. Now, as you guys have also probably noticed, every week we're kind of mixing things up and trying to shift things around and kind of get you a little bit uneasy. We do this on purpose because we want God to move. And we know that sometimes if we're standing still, we don't allow that to happen. So, I remember as a young kid, I shouldn't say young because it was in high school. College. There we go. Brain's working again. College. And I was at a Me Without You concert. Now, does anybody actually know who Me Without You is? Come on. It's old Christian rock music. The other bands there were Amberlynn, Wetoshiwa. I mean, it was a really great concert as a kid. And I remember there was the guy, Aaron, who is this like spoken word slash singer slash horrible singer, singing. And we were in the middle of Minnesota, and it was summer, and he was wearing like a winter coat. And I was like, dude, you are way too full of yourself that you feel like you need to wear a winter coat in the middle of a concert. Anyways, that was just a little perspective for you. I was sitting there. And I wasn't really getting into the music. And then all of a sudden, he stops right in the middle of a song. Just stops. And he says, take a moment right now and pray for the person next to you. Because they are struggling with something that you won't know about. And that you don't know about. But they need your prayers. And at that time, as a Wesleyan, my heart was strangely warmed. Because to know that the Spirit of God is moving in that moment. And so what we want to do right now as a church is to provide you in the times of prayers of the people which we are approaching to pray for the person next to you. This might be awkward, but I promise you God is faithful and God will move through you. So if you could, when we move into the time of prayers after I open this up, ask the person next to you what they need prayer for. And then pray aloud with them. And this church, this congregation will begin to buzz as everybody's praying for one another. And it'll be a beautiful sound because the Lord can hear all of it. So I'll open this up now into a time of prayer. And then when it goes silent, I ask you to ask the person next to you what they could use prayer for. If somebody looks alone, go seek them out because that's what the Lord does for us. And pray with them. And then after an appropriate amount of time, which nobody really knows except for the Lord, I will call us back together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just rejoice that you are faithful. No matter what we struggle with, no matter what we fight with, God, you are faithful. So remind us of our own faith and our own need to be faithful to you. So Lord, I pray right now that as we struggle together as a community, that we use this time to hear from one another, to fight together. To remind ourselves, Lord, that you are so much bigger than what we're struggling with. That you are so much bigger than us as individuals, God. Because your faithfulness is something that goes out from here through the end of times. And you are present there. And not just in moments. So, Father God, I ask you now to give us the courage and strength to ask our neighbor openly and honestly what they're struggling with. And to pray from the bottom of our souls for them. So, Lord, lead us now in this time of prayer.